Almost 19 years ago to this day, I was visiting a church in Georgetown. We had just moved to Alexandria, and I was out visiting churches in the area. I remember it was a lovely place. The sermon had been engaging. Things went south for me at the prayers of the people, though, because the prayers included a special prayer for the death of Fred Rogers, beloved television icon and Presbyterian minister. I had missed the reports of his death in the news that week. As the priest talked a bit about Mr. Rogers, the tears started flowing down my face. I am sure that my teammates thought me odd, because these weren't handkerchief-appropriate tears. They were big and fat and drippy. It's probably a good thing I didn't end up going to church there, because I made a spectacle of myself. Although, as I looked around, I was not the only one wrecked. I was just soppier. I was born just 4 years after Fred Rogers began his groundbreaking television show for children. I spent my entire childhood with Fred Rogers, as did many in my generation. His show happened to come on just around the time my father would get home from work, and I was sent to the den to watch while Mother and Daddy caught up after the day. I loved him. I loved his sweaters and the trolley and when he showed movies on Picture Picture. Mostly, I loved the way Mr. Rogers made me feel as I sat in my family's cozy den. When he said, "You are special," he was stating the deep truth of faith, that we are beloved. He dealt with hard topics for children and adults alike, death, divorce, war. He showed us through his interactions what it looked like to love your neighbor. Mr. Rogers went quietly about teaching generations to respect the dignity and worth of every human being. And his friendship and guidance to adults throughout his life demonstrated that his message was not just for children. Looking back, I can see that my big, fat, drippy tears came from believing down deep in my heart that Mr. Rogers was indeed my friend, and that he not only liked me, he loved me. Turns out that feeling had nestled itself in my heart for all those years. You should have seen the mess I made of myself a few years ago when I saw the Tom Hanks movie about Fred Rogers, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I haven't been back to that theater either. It turns out that Joseph, who we hear about today, was no stranger to being a weeper either. The Old Testament reading this morning ends with Joseph weeping and hugging on his brothers. The brothers who years before had become so hateful and undone by his big talk about he was his daddy's favorite and how favored he was and how special his dreams were that they ripped off his fancy coat and threw him in a pit. The ones who were responsible for him getting sold into slavery in Egypt. Now his brothers have shown up in need of food for their tribe since a famine had spread across the land. They don't recognize Joseph, who had managed to survive and eventually come to great power in Egypt. But this piece of the story we hear this morning is the conclusion of the story. This is the second time these brothers have appeared before him. The first time he was mum about his identity. Joseph listened to their plight. Then he accused them of being spies. He told them that they had to leave a brother there with him and show up the next time with Benjamin, their youngest brother. But he did give them the food that they needed. And he secretly had his servants tuck the money they had offered for the food into their packs. He knew the famine would go on, and I guess he just figured they'd show up again. I wonder about the interior conversations Joseph had with himself while they were away. How did he navigate all this? The wide range of emotions he must have had to see those brothers: fury, rage, love, regret, sorrow. He clearly had not let bitterness and anger completely fill his life, but the appearance of his brothers had to have forced him to do some soul searching. The famine does go on, and in today's story, the brothers have arrived again with Benjamin in tow. And this time, Joseph can bear it no longer, and he reveals himself. In the lines just before today's story begins, the scripture says, "Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, 'Make everyone go out from me.' and he wept aloud, so that the Egyptians heard it, and the whole household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph wept big, fat, drippy tears, too. He wept so loud that all the folks around him could hear. And in today's portion of the narrative, Joseph reveals himself. He tells his brothers to come closer. And then he says to them, "It's me." With a mercy that is hard to fathom, he tells them to go home and get his father and their families and their flocks and to come make a home with him in Egypt. The story closes with Joseph kissing his brothers and weeping upon them. And then they talked to each other. I wish the narrative included what they talked about. Fred Rogers said, "Anything that is human is mentionable, and anything that is mentionable is manageable." Certainly there was a lot to talk about here. There was a lot to mention and to manage. But God's mercy flowed through Joseph and his brothers. With God's grace, things that are beyond broken can be made into something new. Mercy, forgiveness, can occur without words, without long conversations also. Parents can forgive children that never forgive them back. Children can forgive parents who never acknowledge a hurt. People can forgive those who are long dead, who have harmed them. But to name wrongdoing, to name an evil done to one another, to mention wounds aloud so that it can be managed is a powerful experience. Writer Shannon Martin says of mercy, "Mercy brings us face to face with our shadow selves. Mercy drags us back into the light of one another." I sincerely doubt that the reconciliation between Joseph and his brothers was neat and tidy, and that the repercussions of all that had transpired cropped up for those brothers again and again. But they were brought back into the light of each other. Something was made new that day through mercy and forgiveness. Joseph's story of the extraordinary work of God's mercy is coupled in our readings today with Jesus's extraordinarily, seemingly impossible teaching in today's gospel. The kind of mercy that Jesus speaks here of is so opposite from what we learn in day-to-day life. "Love my enemy, turn my cheek." He speaks of a sense of mercy for others that does not come naturally, or it doesn't for me at least. Jesus is mentioning a lot about being a human that I do not find particularly manageable at all. And then Jesus goes and says, "God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." Part of me just wants to throw up my hands and say, "Well, then what's the point of being good anyway? And besides, I'm not sure how I can possibly love my enemy. I'm still working on loving my neighbor." But Joseph and his brothers remind me of why this is both possible and true. With God's grace, what seems impossibly broken will be made new. When we are held up in the light of one another, God's mercy shines. And the truth is, as much as I'd like to deny it, I'm probably a whole lot more like Joseph's brothers in need of mercy. I'm an enemy to someone, I'm sure. I stand in need of God's mercy far more often than I share it. God is forever calling us to come closer and revealing mercy upon mercy, even in the midst of what seems impossibly broken. And in striving to believe that God is present with us and with the ones we see as enemies, we glimpse the wideness of God's mercy that circles around us all. Fred Rogers did not speak expressly of God or his faith in his programming, but he definitely preached the gospel. He honored for children and adults alike the remarkable effort it takes to grow in love. At the close of each show, Mr. Rogers sang, I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you want to talk about. I will too. And I believed him. As an adult now, that sounds an awful lot like what mercifully God says to me. Each day, in God's wide mercy, we are offered the grace to be in conversation with God and to grow in love. And this makes me weep too.